English Across the Pond.
Hello, hello, and welcome to English Across the Pond. This is a podcast designed for you, an English language learner. And my name is Dan, and I come from England.
Hello, my name's Jennifer, and I come from the United States.
We are both English teachers, and together we've been teaching English for over 30 years, a long time. And every week, every Friday, we provide you with another topic, another subject, another natural conversation full of all of the language that you need. If you need more from English Across the Pond, if you're serious about your English, if you're studying for an exam, if you just want to improve your English so you feel more fluent, if it's important for your career, then you can become a member today. When you become a member, we send you an email every week. And in that email is a PDF, a document, a file made by me and Jennifer just for you. And in the file, there's everything you need to improve your English. A goal that we set you for every week. There's the transcript, everything we say, vocabulary activities, listening activities, comprehension questions, writing that you send to us and we can check it and send it back. Speaking, we reply to your speaking every week. I record videos for the writing and speaking, so you'll hear directly from us. So if you want to improve your English even faster, go to englishacrossthepond.com/gold. That's G-O-L-D. englishacrossthepond.com/gold. Jennifer, how's life?
What's up, mate?
Are you all right?
Life is fabulous. Wow. I'm great. Mm. November! We are just winding down the end of the year. It's absolutely nuts.
It's been a fast one, hasn't it?
Weren't we just celebrating our two-year mark in June?
Well, it seems like 5 minutes ago it was all t-shirts and, you know, flip-flops. And and now I'm talking, I've got a big sweater on, a big woolen jumper.
Yeah, it's getting chilly.
It is. So confidence today. We're talking about confidence. Yeah. And I have got questions for you so we can chat. But what does it, you know, what does it mean to you? Or tell me about confidence, either about you and confidence or how you feel about it in general, or chat to me.
Chat to me. Confidence, I would say, is definitely a feeling, a belief, an idea you have about, you know, something. Right. If we're talking about like maybe self-confidence, you know, the idea, the feeling, the belief that you are enough, you can do something, you can achieve something, you can be successful at something, the feeling that you have the ability.
If
confidence.
If we walked around my town or if we walked around your city and asked people, are you self-confident or are you confident enough? Let's say we asked 100 people. How many people do you think would say, yes, I'm self-confident?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't even know. I think that would really throw people off. I think people would be surprised to be stopped on the street and asked that question.
I would very quickly put them at their ease. Don't worry.
What would you say?
Hello, hello, excuse me. No, I'd say, hello, would you mind answering a question, please? Just, we're just doing a little survey. I'd like to talk to you about...
Sorry. No, sorry, I'm late. I don't have time.
Yeah, I'll give you £50.
Yes, what can I help you with?
Would you say that you're a confident person?
I think that actually more people would say yes, even if they truly didn't feel that way because they maybe feel embarrassed.
So what's the truth though?
I don't even know.
Let's
say 75% of the population. Now that's really high. 60% of the population has self-confidence.
Well, I would imagine that I think, particularly maybe, I'm thinking of like, you know, English language and learning a language and being confident about your abilities or your skill. I think that maybe people generally feel, I think a lot of our listeners, a lot of people listening now, even if they're good, you know, very good at English, and if they are listening and understanding us, two native speakers talking naturally, they are good at English. But I think they might say, well, you know, particularly speaking.
Yes. Well, that's like a whole new ballgame, isn't it? I mean, like, I was kind of thinking about self-confidence as a person generally, you know, but language learners, I think that number is much, much low because, like what you said, doubt creeps in, you know, limiting beliefs and thoughts, you know, fear. Oh my gosh. I think fear is the number one confidence killer.
And I think also there's maybe it's safer, isn't it, in a way, if someone says, is any like in a room, is anybody good at English? If you put your hand up, anything can happen. So are you good at English? Not really. You know what I mean? It's kind of a safer place to be, isn't it? Rather than saying, oh, I'm not bad. I'm okay at English. Yeah, I can try. Oh, well, in that case, you know, and it will lead on to you.
Why don't you come do this public speaking presentation in front of 1,000 people?
Yeah. So I think there is a safety there. Why do you think people struggle with confidence? Or, I mean, if they do, what do you think, sir? Why is it difficult to be confident?
Yeah, I think it's fear.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I think it's like fear of making a mistake in terms of language learning, right? Fear of making a mistake. And then that fear of, oh my gosh, well, if I make a mistake, I'm going to look stupid. And then people might laugh at me. And then I might be like the center of attention in a negative way. And, you know, so all of these like thoughts creating this fear can creep in. And not thinking about language learning in general, I think fear still plays a huge part because, you know, oh, you know, a fear of failure. Right. It's like, oh my gosh, I want to pass this test or I want to get this job or pass this interview or do this thing or.
So it holds us back, doesn't it?
Yeah. So like the fear of it not happening and then, oh my gosh, well, if I fail, what am I going to tell everybody?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, so, you know, so all of those thoughts, it's like thinking the worst.
So fear and confidence in a way are like brother and kind of like brother and sister or two sides of the same coin, aren't they? Do you think?
Brother and sister is kind of an inch. I wouldn't personally understand that.
Oh, yeah.
That comparison. They're like enemies. I would say fear and confidence are arch nemesises.
Yeah, yeah. Arch rivals.
Yeah.
So do you think that people are born confident? How do we get confident if there's somebody out there thinking, I'm not confident. You know, they don't feel so assured of their abilities. How can they feel more secure?
Well, I feel like that was a two-part question. I think kids are kind of born with confidence. Like a lot of that. So when we think about children learning languages and why it's so much easier, they don't have those fears or limiting thoughts or kind of doubts in their mind. And then I think life experience, unfortunately, kind of like changes and kind of how situations present themselves or whatever. Cause I promise you, this is a true story. I think it was second grade. Mrs. Ribont, I think.
Oh.
And I mean, talk about holding on to some serious stuff. I was so confident in like school and answered all the questions. And I remember one time in second grade, we were all sitting in like circle time or sitting in like a big group of the students in front of the whiteboard. And the teacher asked a question. I shoot my hand up and I answer it wrong. And this little son of a B word, his name was Sean something. Laughed.
Oh.
He straight up laughed at me when I got the wrong answer. Like, how kids are mean to one another. Like he was mean. I was so embarrassed. And I swear that experience, you know, like changed how confident I was moving forward to answer class, to answer in class, because the fear of someone laughing at you happened. And then it's like, I never quite bounced back to where I think I kind of became a little bit shy of public speaking. Is my fear of public speaking today? Does it go back to Sean? I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's something that definitely has stuck with me.
And how did you feel in that moment then? You can remember being there. Was it sitting there at circle time and saying the answer and getting it wrong and the guy laughing? And you felt...
The kid laughing, really. He was also like a second grader.
Yeah.
I just remember being embarrassed, but I remember my teacher saying like, oh, no, no, no. Like, we don't laugh. Like, everyone should try to answer, you know. And she obviously has probably dealt with that before. And obviously, just to a disclaimer for myself, as an adult, I realize how silly that is to say, I'm still not public speaking because of that. I know that's silly. But I do think that kind of put in, like, it kind of rationalized the fear.
Made it real.
It made it real. And it was like, oh, I have this fear. That fear can happen. And that made me feel really bad. So I don't want to experience that feeling again. So I just am not going to do it. And then over time, habit. You just get used to not doing something or whatever. Yeah. And so then you question your ability as you get older. Second part to your question, how do we get it? Practice.
Yeah.
And I also think perspective, your mind.
Oh, yeah. So how do you practice being confident? What does that involve?
Well, do we want to think of like a specific example for some context?
Well, yeah. Good. What about somebody who wanted to be more adept, more confident at speaking English?
Yeah. So it would be to start speaking on your own, start doing something by yourself. And so obviously we'll use English as this example, but you can generalize this to any kind of thing. So if it's public speaking, if it's talking to a stranger, if it's just speaking English, doing it by yourself to where none of your fears can be rationalized. None of them can be real. If you're afraid of someone laughing at you, if you're doing it by yourself, it's not real. Can't happen unless you laugh at yourself, right?
Yeah, sure, sure.
So just speaking on your own by yourself, getting used to hearing your voice, getting used to kind of like hearing your own voice in your own ears, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know how you can like plug your ears and you can still hear yourself in your own head?
Yeah.
So kind of doing that to get used to the voice and then asking a friend and then maybe inviting two friends and then talking to a group and then joining a group call and then recording yourself, you know, kind of adding layers and layers to get more and more public and real.
I think an example, what you said about your voice is I obviously podcast every week for sort of 2 years, but I teach people how to podcast as well. Not to any high level, just the idea of recording your voice. And so with my students, we sit around together and we have a little interview for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and something just like, where would you recommend to go on holiday? Or what's the best holiday you've ever had? Or what's the nice thing about your country? When I play this back, so we record it, it becomes an MP3, and then we upload it. And when people listen back, they really cringe and are feel so nervous and awkward about their voice. But I, with 2 years and hundreds of hours of listening to my old voice, to my voice, I couldn't care less.
Yes. Yes. Same. So it's like, because we've gotten all this practice.
Yeah. And which is the same thing with speaking, isn't it? And it's more by accident than anything. I didn't plan. I didn't think I'm going to listen to my voice over and over so that I don't become, you know, so I don't feel shy or embarrassed about it. But that is what has happened. You also said perspective.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So changing how you look at something, how you see something, you know, and changing what you think about it. So that would be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to speak English because I'm going to make a mistake. So I'm not going to do it because I'm going to make a mistake. Mistakes are bad. Well, no, that's not, that's like, that's off. You could think of it as mistakes are going to be the way you learn. And then if you never speak, you'll never make that mistake. So you would never learn what the correct thing is. But when you do speak and you make that mistake and someone corrects you, then you're never going to forget that rule again. Yeah, so never make that mistake again.
Or if you're speaking and suddenly the idiom or the phrasal verbs comes into your head and you remember it and you say it, it's such an amazing feeling. And maybe therefore you'll never forget the idiom or phrasal verb again. You know, when you get it right, yes, or when you get it wrong, you make, yes, these sort of big moments. I think it can be, it's hard. I think it's like, if you think of, this is a completely different topic, but people's fear of flying, and you know, they know the logic. When you say to them, you're very unlikely to die in a plane crash, they're like, I know, but that, you know, it can be difficult, can't it? It's easy for us to say, you know, don't have to be afraid and get some perspective, but ultimately that has to come from within inside the person.
Yes, and that's like perspective. You have to want it.
Yeah.
If you truly want to speak English, or you truly want to publicly speak, give a presentation, or talk to strangers, or whatever it is, like more confidently, you know, you have to want to do it. Because if you don't truly want it and you never do it, then it's never going to be done. No one can force you to do it.
And I'm reminded, I'm sure I've mentioned this maybe back in like episode 12, like 2 years ago, there was a girl in China that I worked with called Peggy, who was very, very, very scared and afraid. And literally one day she said, I'm sick of this. I'm not being shy and afraid anymore. And she just changed herself and volunteered every single time for everything and went on to encourage kids in the lower levels in her school. She became like an ambassador for sort of like courage. Amazing.
That is incredible.
Yeah, there are not many people, but it's true, it's true. And she just forced herself to do it. And was it perfect? No. Was she fantastic because she tried? Not really. She was just as good as she was, but she just completely changed her attitude and outlook. Go, Peggy.
Go, Peggy. When you were saying that, I thought, well, first of all, nothing's ever perfect.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as perfection.
Yeah.
And then the other thought that I thought when you were saying all that was, how attractive is it when someone's doing something with confidence?
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's like when someone's doing something, even if someone's doing something really bad, but they're doing it with confidence, you're like, oh my gosh, look, they're just going for it. I admire that person. And it's almost like they get even more praise and even more admiration when they do something confidently bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you go, girl, or you go, guy.
Like somebody dancing and dancing like nobody's looking kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's just like, oh, wow. And people think, oh, I wish I could do that. So, you know, it comes back to, nobody even cares if you're doing it bad as long as you're doing it confidently, because you look amazing whatever you do.
When I go out dancing, which I do sort of like at least once a month, the people out there have been dancing since like the 1970s or the 1980s. They've seen the best dancer, the worst dancer. They've watched dancing competitions. They've watched people fall over. And so what's really nice in that environment is sometimes I take a friend and say, just go and dance. Nobody cares. And they don't really believe it. But actually when they go and dance, like I say, they have seen every single kind of dancer you could possibly imagine, and it will be very difficult for you or I or anybody listening to surprise these people. So there's a real nice freedom in there where people just go, oh, nobody's watching me, and just dance away.
And that's the point, is, you know, when you say like, oh, no matter how you dance, mm-hmm, you're not going to surprise anybody. Who's even watching you and judging the way you're dancing anyways?
Exactly.
I think we internalize and like personalize what we do, thinking everyone's going to be watching and judging and looking at me. No one cares about what you're doing because everyone cares about what they're doing.
I think that's nice about like when people start a business as well and they launch something in their business, nobody cares, which is quite a nice, you know, it's quite a nice, I mean, obviously if you've just started your business, it's a bit crushing, but everybody is not looking at you or waiting for you to do something. Everybody's waiting for themselves to do something or doing something for themselves. Very true, very true. So just to, we're going to run out of time, and I'd like to ask, so how is your, it's a difficult question because I know on the one hand it's easy to talk the talk, and we like doctors know that you shouldn't smoke.
But can you walk the walk?
But can you walk the walk? And how's your confidence? It's a very personal question, but how are you generally with confidence? I think you're a pretty confident lady.
Oh, I would say I'm pretty confident. Yeah. And I'm working on it all the time.
The job is never finished.
It's never finished because you learn something new. You acquire a new skill. You grow as a person. You know, like we as humans are always changing. So I think the biggest thing for me in this last like 2 years was really growing as like my self-confidence, you know, as a mother. That's huge. And then like reconnecting with the self-confidence I have as a woman, as Jennifer, not as a mom, not as a wife, not as anyone, but as me, as Jennifer, you know? And so that has something that's always evolving and changing too. And obviously I have like self-doubt days or, you know, we're both entrepreneurs as well. So there's confidence in our business and in what we do and what we put out there. You know, we like put our heart and our soul into this podcast, into our gold member materials. And, you know, sometimes self-doubt can creep in with that and we learn and grow. But overall, I would say I'm pretty confident.
You go, girl.
Is the question easy for you to answer? Do you feel pretty confident?
I think in some areas, I think, and I think also it comes and goes. I get tired. Sounds like I'm a sort of like floppy 5 year old, but like teaching, you know, I teach in the classroom. It takes a lot of energy. I teach teachers and it takes a lot to muster up. You have to be working and firing on all cylinders. All your senses are going at the same time. You're looking out the corner of your eyes. And if I do this week after week after week after week after, eventually I start to get tired. And then I know from experience, once I get tired, my confidence, I get less confidence when I'm confident when I'm tired. At first, this freaked me out. I was like, why don't I want to teach? I don't want to go in the classroom. I feel nervous. Why? And I was okay last week. Why? And it's because when I get tired. So for me, if I'm fresh and I've had plenty of sleep and rest, I'm as confident as the next guy. But I'm aware that I do get kind of, I can become unconfident. But that's okay because I kind of recognize it. I'm used to it.
Good to always be self-aware, isn't it?
I'd like to finish with a quote.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, this is from, you know that I like this person a lot. Her name is Mel. I don't know like what her, Melissa, I guess. Mel Robbins. And it's a couple of sentences. You ready? Here we go. Confidence is really the willingness to try. That's it. Confidence doesn't start with belief. It starts with action. When you push yourself to act, you're beating yourself. Oh, sorry. You're beating your self-doubt. Every time you try, you're building confidence. Just like any other skill, it gets better the more you practice. Nice.
I love it. You and your quotes get me every time.
Well, you know, I normally start with one and I couldn't go through the whole thing without at least one.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go off and be confident.
Yeah, and we would love to know about you, listeners, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself confident in life in general? And maybe a two-part question, do you feel as confident in your general life as you feel in English?
Beautiful. Right. Yeah. I'm going to go off and be confident.
I'm going to go be confident too.
Wow. Good to talk.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello and welcome to the Language Focus. This week, we're focusing on the word can. That's it. One of the most popular words in English. We use it every day and we use it for different ways. There's different ways. It has different meanings. But this week, we're only going to focus on using can for ability. So to begin with, the verb can, we use it to say that we are able to do something, that we have an ability. For example, I can speak French. Bonjour. If we say this quickly, I can speak French. A question, can you speak Portuguese? is a question, and a negative, I can't speak Japanese. Can't here, of course, is a contraction. It's two words put together, kind of. The words are can and not. Actually, can and not is one word. We never write it separately. But when we speak, we say can't. In informal correspondence, emails, messages, WhatsApp, we use can't. In formal written correspondence, we use cannot, and it's always one word. It's not can and not, it's cannot. Because can is a modal verb, there is no version of it in the third person. What I mean by this is, I go, you go, he goes, I can, you can, he can. There is no S. The modal verb never changes. I can go, you can go, he can go, we can go, you can go, they can go. It always stays the same. Of course, at the moment, we're talking about expressing our abilities, saying that we can do something in the present tense. And in the past tense, can changes to could. So we'll change all of our sentences. When I was little, I lived in France and I could speak French. When you were young, you lived in Brazil. Could you speak Portuguese? And when I was a kid, I couldn't speak Japanese. I couldn't speak Japanese when I was little, and I still can't speak Japanese now. Up to this point, every time that I have said can, or can't, or could, or couldn't, you could use be able to instead. You can substitute can and could with be or was able to. So, I am able to speak French. Are you able to speak Portuguese? I'm not able to speak Thai. This is correct English. However, when we have a choice between to be able to and can and could, whenever it's possible, we say can and could. We don't normally use be able to. It sounds unnatural, and we always prefer to say can and could. I think because it's just quicker and easier. So, hello, I am able to meet you. It sounds strange. So, hello, I can meet you. It sounds sort of more normal and more natural. However, there are times when we can't use can and could, and we have to use be able to. And I'm going to explain one of those now. So we've looked at can in the present, I can speak French, and in the past, I could speak French. We have a problem when we get to the present perfect because there is no past participle with a modal verb. What I mean by this is, if you think of other verbs, drink, drank, drunk, there are three, eat, ate, eaten. There are three. Begin, began, begun. There are three. Cut, cut. You see the picture that I'm painting. Most verbs have three different forms, but a modal verb only has two. Wack, wack, wack. So if we want to use a perfect tense, the present perfect or the past perfect, we can't use can or could, and we have to use to be able to. So for example, have you called your brother? No, I haven't been able to speak to him. I think his phone is dead. Or, I've got a lot on my mind at the moment, so I haven't been able to sleep very well. These are just two examples of when we use be able to and don't use can or could, because we can't use them. In this week's study plan, there will be some more examples, and also members only, some practice about a specific occasion in the simple past when we can't use can or could. So dear members, get hold of your study plan, print it now, look at it on your laptop, go to the language focus, read the explanation, and then try the exercises. The answers are at the bottom of the document, but don't look at the answers before you finish the exercises. Okay, I hope this is useful. Keep working hard on your English. You can do it.